Jen DeSalvo hear what you just said to me? Because you will make her cry.
What did I say?
We were talking, as we often do, about Robbie Benson.
You've never stopped talking about him since the 70s.
I just think from time to time you need to keep Robbie Benson's name in a conversation, and I do. And we were talking about, and I said, do you know what famous Disney character Robbie Benson played? And you did not. And I said, the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, to which you said,
I've never seen Beauty and the Beast.
Because you?
I'm not a fan of Disney.
You said, I hate Disney.
No, I didn't. Shut up.
You said, I hate Disney.
I guess I didn't say not for error.
Do you mean Walt Disney himself or all products that he has created? Or what part of Disney do you hate?
Listen, I don't know what it, you, oh. It's, I have such a long involved relationship with Disney. I went there.
It can't all be bad,
but
it's impossible. Walt Disney is the maker of mirth. He's put smiles on the faces of children and adults alike. So you must have some happy, so there must be something Disney related that has brought you joy. It's impossible.
I am turning a corner, but I mean, think about it. The first time I went to Disney World was the summer my dad died.
But you can't blame Walt Disney.
I don't,
that.
But it was like a time where I don't know that I was ready to celebrate the.
I understand that.
The merriment of the, you know, happiest place on earth.
But your family's intent there was to get your mind off of the horribleness of losing your dad. So that's.
I went with my aunt, my cousin, and my sister. My mom stayed home to deal with things. And,
you know, many Disney characters were also without a parent or parents, so you would think there'd be a kinship.
No, I don't, and it was just too much. It was overwhelming, and I don't know that I was ready for it.
How old were you?
10.
All right.
Okay, but you have to understand,
everyone's different.
There's a connection. Plus, on that's the trip that I had to have chicken a la king at the restaurant, the roadside stop we made a pit stop at, and everybody warned me against it because I get carsick, and I said, I can have chicken a la king. Kids, don't have chicken a la king when you're like driving through the Smoky Mountains.
They're not known for their chicken a la king there.
Well, it's, you don't know where not. I went. I went to...
Where'd you go?
A roadside stop. I don't remember the name of the place. I don't know why I ordered it. I've never had it again.
Did it say best dang chicken a la king in the galaxy, like on the attraction board?
I don't know why I ordered it, to be honest with you, because typically...
And you were warned by others.
Yeah, because I get carsick.
Don't you be eating a chicken a la king. You don't want no chicken a la king.
Well, no, not the people who work there. My family members would say, Wendy, I don't think that's a good idea. Get fried chicken and make us wait an hour like you usually do at a restaurant. You know, when you order fried chicken, and they say that'll take 45 minutes.
It takes a little extra time. But again, I'm not positive you could blame this on the Walt Disney Corporation.
Okay, but listen, this same trip is when I had the chicken a la king. We were driving through the Smoky Mountains. I got sick and I threw up in my Mickey Mouse ears. I had to leave them on the side of the road. Also threw up on my stuffed panda Nunzio, but he was able to be washed.
But you don't hate pandas, right?
No, but it was just...
Steve Dale came up next week with a panda, you would embrace that panda. You wouldn't hate it.
No, I love pandas.
All right.
But I also then went back when the kids were super little, and it was just... It was a bad trip. I got to tell you, my sister treated us, and we went.
It was a free trip, but you still didn't have fun in Disney on someone else's dime. And when I say dime, I mean lots and lots and lots of dimes.
Yeah, there were lots of dimes. My sister loves Disney, so she was making the schedule, and it was a lot of this park this day. And I get it.
Those close to you, your sister,
like
your husband, your boys,
my cousin,
your cousin, Geppetto. They all love Disney.
Okay, but that was the time that we arrived in Disney and Dylan had lice, so we call that the Disney on lice trip. He was on the wrong ADHD meds, so he would sleep on a park bench for 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon at Disney.
But again, not Disney's fault.
I know, but it's just that's
you
what
just
I correlate.
You associated it all with Disney.
Yes. And then
the Aristocats? Do you like them?
Yeah, kind of.
They're Disney.
All right. Well, I have some.
Let O'Malley the Alley Cat be the gateway to your love of all things Disney.
He may be.
Oh, I miss Phil Harris.
And then the next time we went to Disney was actually pretty fun.
It was
because I got turned on. There was a buffer day in between. You need it. This is in Disney World.
Yeah.
And really love the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. I didn't know that there were like cool rides that weren't really a ride.
Right. Right. It's like living in a movie.
And then Disneyland last year was pretty great.
You like that?
And
so
we're going to hit Disneyland again.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm not.
But how about the Empire itself? How about all the movies? They haven't brought you joy to go to a Disney movie to just sit in a theater and watch Toy Story?
I love Toy Story.
Toy Story 2.
I love Toy Story.
Toy Story 3.
Can't wait to see Toy Story 4. I didn't see 3. Will I be lost?
Yeah, you won't get it. None of it'll make sense.
I get, and you know, I just.
Why is the spaceman and the cowboy friends? It doesn't make sense. I'm out of here.
You mean Buzz and Woody? Ah! I know that. I just.
Very impressive.
I don't hate it, but can I just tell you? I'll stop saying that because that's not true.
No one, you can't hate.
No, I don't.
No one can hate
I don't.
Disney.
But then there are people like, all right, for instance, my husband is a Star Wars fan. He loves, lives and breathes Star Wars. Jen DeSalvo is a Disney fan. She loves, lives and breathes Disney.
Right.
I enjoy both of those things, but I don't.
But if they
went
away, I
can't immerse myself in them like these people do.
I get that.
So
I understand that, and that's what's wrong with that. You don't need to immerse yourself to enjoy, right?
Right, but I don't love it. I mean, Disney can be fun. I'll leave it like
that's
that.
That's better. That's better than I hate Disney. What if Walt's grandchildren were listening to the show and they heard you say I hate Disney?
They don't care. I'm still paying money for a park hopper,
all right.
Which is like a car payment. It is
more expensive. But don't you think, like, when you're there, the money just becomes irrelevant because you say, I don't get to come here often. I'm here now. Whatever it costs, it costs.
No, that's when I say, boys, go with your dad. I'll stay home and stay in the pool.
Make sure the pool's safe for everybody.
And the bar's working.
We went to Walt Disney World the very first year it was open, and it wasn't very expensive. Everything was very inexpensive.
I agree with you. I mean, it's a place that you'd pay money to go to, but now I got to be honest with you. I mean, if you have like a family of over two kids,
right?
I mean, you can save up and go once.
I used to go with the Duggar family, and they had at the time they only had 16 kids. They've got more now, but
Duggar just died.
I saw that. Moment of silence. Well, a short moment. We don't have that many moments.
All right. There are families that are like the Duggars who don't have a TV show. They'll never be able to go as a family.
Right. It's too expensive for them.
But
they're priced out of the market.
How could Disney be so expensive? If it's the happiest place on earth and you think that everyone should have an opportunity at least at one time of their childhood be able to go to Disney.
Agreed.
Why can't it be like your first time is cheaper maybe? They keep a record.
I guess they could do it. People would fake their way. Some people would change their names or something to get in a second time. They could. You're right, though.
There could be a way to do it.
I bet. And I mean, they do give you discounts. Like if you buy a 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 day pass, it gets a little cheaper per day.
Yeah, but add up the 3, 4, 5, 7 day pass.
No, I know. I know.
And that's a mortgage payment.
I know.
So either a car payment for one day or a mortgage payment for the week.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we always saw a lot of movies. We just saw tons of movies. So there were the classic Disney movies that were the cartoons that are famous. But then Disney also had a branch where they were putting out live action movies that weren't great, but they weren't horrible. And when you were a kid, they were actually fun to watch.
Like the Kurt Russell movies?
Yeah. Like all the Kurt Russell movies, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes or The Monkey's Uncle.
Never saw any of those.
Those were Kurt Russell Disney movies. Or like The Apple Dumpling Gang. Did you see that? With Bill Bixby and Don Knotts and Tim Conway.
Meh.
Yeah, really? No? Didn't do it for you? How about Blackbeard with Peter Ustinov?
I saw that.
You saw that one? See, that wasn't bad. Or how about all the movies that Dean Jones was in?
Oh, God, I watched those. My brother watched them, and we only had one TV, so I got stuck watching those.
You saw them on TV, though. You didn't go to the theater to see those movies?
No, I didn't go to the theater that much.
Dean Jones was in like a ton of movies, a ton of Disney movies. The most famous is probably The Love Bug, Herbie the Love Bug.
I liked the Herbie.
That wasn't bad, right?
See, but I don't associate that with Disney. Disney is Mickey and Minnie.
Right. They didn't go overboard to tell you those were Disney movies, but they were. But they were just cranking out what was considered to be family entertainment in the 60s and the 70s. It wasn't great, but it was, you know, it was passable.
I don't dislike Disney. I'm sick of Mickey. That's what it is. Mickey's everywhere.
I'll tell you what. I'm not crazy about you either, bub.
What was the very first Disney movie?
The first full-length Disney movie was Snow White.
Yep. 1937.
Yeah.
Any guesses what was next? Because this one I did see. Now, again, not at a... I must have seen it at a theater.
The next full-length Disney movie after Snow White was Pinocchio?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You Disney lover, you.
I do. I am... When I'm there, I am... You know you say it's not the happiest place on earth. I'm so happy when I'm there. Even though it's expensive and it's hot and the lines are long.
Well, you can't think about... Once you've purchased the ticket, you can't think about that anymore. You got to just enjoy yourself.
You're right. But as soon as I'm approaching it... We always stayed at the Polynesian when I was a kid. So as,
on the property? Boy.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
My dad, J. Pierpont Finch, insisted that we stay. Very wealthy industrialist, you know. So as soon as I see... Anything that has the Polynesian on it, as soon as I see the tops of the ceremonial house, the main building, or even like, you know, the monorail has all those like stands.
Yes.
Where, all right. As soon as I see those and I'm approaching it, I get excited. I'm a kid again. I'm like, wow, we're here. It's so exciting to me.
That's how my youngest son Dylan is.
Yeah.
He loves anything Disney.
Yeah.
Michael likes Disney very much, might even love it, but not as much as Dylan. And Jim has always had a fondness in his heart for Disney as well.
Yeah.
My sister did tell me last year when I went to Disneyland for the first time to relax, enjoy myself, and try to notice the details in things.
Such great advice.
It really is.
Such great advice.
And I was able to do so, and I really prefer Disneyland because I feel like it's much more...
it's manageable.
Yes,
it's
that's exactly the word.
All the perimeters are there. You know where it starts and where it stops. Yeah.
Disney World, it's like you're on another island. It's like Survivor, but with all these different parks. It's too much. You don't know what's going to be behind those big, huge trees.
Yeah.
It's too overwhelming. I think that's what it is with Disney World.
When Kylie was looking at colleges and we went out to Florida to look at schools there, we had 3 days to do Disney-related stuff, so we did all 4 Disney parks and the 2 Universal parks within 3 days. We did 6 parks from start to finish. Like, when they opened, we were there, and when they closed, we were there. And it was like... It's like running a marathon.
I know. You had like 50,000 steps on your iPhone.
Or more. Yeah. You could have walked to the moon and back. But, that said, memories that will last a lifetime... For both of us, you know.
Yeah, that you were tired. What's your favorite part of Disney? And, like, do you know, like, I know Dylan loves Haunted Mansion. That's his thing.
I don't have a favorite part. It's just the whole scope of the thing. Like, I'm amazed that everything to the smallest detail is themed. And I told you this once before. The garbage cans are different in every part of the park. Like, when you're by the Tiki Room... They have the garbage cans look tropical. When you're in Tomorrowland, they look futuristic. When you're in Frontierland, they have a Western look to them. And every single thing in every part of Disney is like that. There's nothing out of place. When you're in Tomorrowland, you don't see anything that's cowboy related. You know, it's amazing to me the way they've sectioned it off to where your head doesn't pick it up unless you're looking for it, but you're just engulfed in whatever their environment is, ride by ride and land by land. They just do that to you. They're so good at it.
Wow, that's really weird because, I mean, now that you mention the garbage cans, I do notice that they're different. They're like, you know, there's some wood tiki hut type material
right.
on the ones
yes.
there.
Yeah.
And then the modernistic ones in Tomorrowland. But it's weird, like you would just... Like, did you do a garbage can tour? Did you, like...
We took the garbage can tour.
It's weird that you'd notice that.
I've read so many books about the creating and how the Imagineers, that you know, the brain trust behind Disney, just goes out of their way to make everything fit and make sense. And I mean, they're so good at it. And then I've told you this before too, but they have what they call forced perspective, where with all the buildings, the ground floor is regular size, but then as they get bigger, they're really, as they go up, they're getting smaller. Like when you look at the castle, it's forced perspective, so that it seems like those rooms at the top could accommodate people, but they can't. They're way too small.
That's
just the way
cool.
They build it. On Main Street, the buildings are two or three stories, and the second story is really a story and a half, and then it just goes down as you go up. It's brilliant.
That's pretty great.
It's so smart of them.
And people from Tomorrowland can't walk through
Never.
What if they did? Would they get fired?
I don't know if they get fired, but they've created, there's a series of tunnels underneath. When you're walking around Disneyland or Disney World, you're on the second floor, really, because underneath they've got these tunnels where they shuttle workers back and forth so that you never see anybody out of their area. All the Tomorrowland people are in Tomorrowland. All the Frontier people are in Frontierland. I mean, just like they've thought of all that little detail.
That's pretty amazing.
If you're there, you're not thinking about that, but they're just masters at it. They're so good at it.
All right, I guess as a little kid, I did see Dumbo. I did see Bambi.
And you like those.
Yeah. So,
all right, that's progress.
That's about where it ended. I didn't see Cinderella. I saw Lady and the Tramp's Disney.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
All right, I like Disney.
All right. See?
Peter Pan is...
Peter
I guess
Pan.
I knew that.
You knew
I
that.
Knew that. Yeah. But I didn't see any of the princess... I didn't see Alice in Wonderland. I didn't think I see Sleeping Beauty.
The first movie I ever saw in a theater was The Jungle Book when
yes,
I
saw that.
Two.
Loved
two or
it.
Three. You saw that in the theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I did.
Yeah.
That I remember. A lot of singing, and I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break. And then after Kim's news, we are going to talk about jobs that are no longer.
Yeah.
I hope it's home from work.
You can't hate this.
I don't hate.
Seven Little Men working in a mine. Come on.
Taking care of Snow White. I'm getting a lot of texts. Boy, Wendy, you sound like such a joy on a family vacation. Why is Wendy so negative about Disney? I'm not. I guess I don't. If I've been there, I would like to savor it and maybe go back, you know, in a few years. But I have a kid who wants to go every year.
Yeah.
To me, a vacation is going somewhere where there's a beach and it's tropical and it's quiet and you lay in a raft with a drink.
Yes.
I'm not fun. It's just, I think Disney is kind of a lot of work.
I'm not saying you're wrong. It is, but...
I mean, I'm a Disney person.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to talk about Disney
like
ever again.
Like, if I had to do...
Well, because I'm the bad guy. I'm not,
no,
I don't
you're
hate
not.
It.
It's,
you're the Disney
everybody
villain.
Everybody has their choice for vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And someday I'll be able to choose my vacation again.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
No, because then the kids will be old enough to go to Disney on their own.
Right.
Jim can go with them.
Yeah.
I'll
and where will you go?
St. Lucia or something.
Yeah, just by yourself?
You can stay at a Disney pool and float around. You don't even have to go to the park.
Do
you
that.
Is it shaped like Mickey? Because really, I'm just so oversaturated.
No.
Everything's, looks like Mickey. From the pancakes on down.
Right.
There were some jobs we were talking about earlier on 720 AM and pretty fascinating to me.
Kim, here's the premise. These are jobs that at one point were very important to an industry of some sort, but things change.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
So you can't have it. We mentioned elevator operators. There was a time where if you got an elevator.
An elevator operator.
The guy would go, "What floor, please?" And you'd tell him and he'd wince. Ugh,
we
six.
Still talk
we just
about
got the six.
Elevator operator, this lovely woman who elevated the operator in San Francisco at the hotel we stayed at on our honeymoon.
Oh.
And she always talked to us and she knew it was our honeymoon. We always talked
about her.
That's
pretty sweet.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then they figured out that they could let real people just push buttons that it didn't have to be an employee.
And they pulled that door, remember?
Right.
It was like a little, you felt like you were in
a gate.
Cage.
Yeah.
Remind me, I know you weren't living here, you were still living in Kentucky, but Wendy, maybe you'll remember this. When Macy's on State Street was Marshall Field, so back in the... I'm remembering it in the 60s. Didn't they have elevator operators working those elevators?
Most
they
department
did, right?
Stores did.
Yeah. What floor, please?
Yes.
Seven. Notions department. It would take you there.
Ding.
Ding. That
Reminds
was a good...
Ms. Maisel.
Right.
The
they do that in Ms. Maisel
yes.
all the time. I told Wendy, my mom, her doctor was located in the city, and the guy who ran the elevator was just miserable. He always looked like he was either just about to take a nap or he had just taken a nap. So you would tell him the floor, and he would just, oh, like, you couldn't come up with a floor that he hadn't been to 1,000 times that day. So he would just look at you like, I've already been to 8 a bunch of times. Go somewhere else. Stop it already.
Don't some of you want to buy underwear?
Come on. We mentioned Cigarette Girl earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the old movies, you always see those real glamorous women walking around the
like
nightclubs.
In Vegas, they still
yes,
do.
Yes, they still do, don't they?
Yep.
They do still do it in Las Vegas.
That reminds me, both of these jobs remind me of growing up, because when I was a little kid, Churchill Downs used to have elevator operators. And
at the racetrack?
At the racetrack. And then, yeah. You know, growing up in Kentucky, cigarettes were such a big thing that they always had people like giving out cigarettes.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Free samples?
Yeah, Philip Morris was downtown Louisville. So they used to have this guy who dressed up like an old elevator operator, and he would be like in the parades and
throwing cigarettes to the kids.
Well, yeah, no, but
candy ones.
He was always around, like he was a character.
Yeah, because Sarah, you said that there were a bunch of phone calls with other people that had recommended some. Because Sarah filling in for Jasmine for the next couple of days. What were people saying on the phone lines?
I had two people call in saying that their fathers were pin setters, like at bowling alleys.
Bowling alley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a good job, guys.
Pin setter?
Were you, like, suspended and you had to, like, very quickly do it, or did you just walk up and set them up?
You sat. Now, I know this because my mom had two cousins who did that in the summer. That was their summer job, is they would go, and they were pin setters at a bowling alley. So you sat behind the pins. There was a room.
Oh, yeah.
You just kind of sat there, and as the game went on, whenever it was your time, you would run out, and as quickly as you could, you'd arrange the pins before it became all electric.
Yeah, there was that place in Chicago that had human pin centers.
Fairly recently,
yeah,
right?
It's been probably gone 10 years or something.
They worked at a place called Marzano's Miami Bowl.
I knew that place.
Have you been there or seen that place? They can't still be there, can they, or are they?
I don't know.
Marzano's Miami Bowl. Yeah, I went in there
a
couple
times. They open like 24 hours
yes.
or something? Yeah, I might have had.
Nothing's better at 3 in the morning than bowling.
Sometimes, you know, when you want your date to keep going on and there's no air conditioning other places, maybe you'd go there at 3 in the morning and bowl a couple of frames.
Yes.
I did go there.
Never too late.
Well, my grandfather was a TV repairman. That job is no longer around.
So what do they do now if your TV is...
I think people just throw them away
and get another one?
Yeah.
That's it?
I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but it's hard to find out where to take them because it's, you know, you can put it out for the garbage, but the garbage men won't collect it. Not even big, the tubes and all that. So a lot of times people
you
will
have to
just drive
it. Or
yes, and I think like Best Buy and other places do recyclables for electronics. But if you put it out in front of your house first, a lot of times people who are collecting scrap metal will take
it. They'll take it away. And Jawas will also take it away.
Because Sarah, wasn't there one more that somebody called about?
Yeah, it was a telemarketer board operator of some sort.
Oh, switchboard operator.
Switchboard.
One ringy dingy.
Yep.
Is this the party to whom I am speaking?
Yep.
Everybody needs to watch The Wonderful Miss Maisel because all these jobs are
they
in
do
that
them in
show.
There.
Yes.
All right. I forgive me for not knowing the answer to this, but I swear to you, I don't. It seems like whenever they would show a switchboard operator in a movie or a television show, all they were doing is they were taking a peg, like you'd have a peg on a wire connected to another peg. So they would take it out of one hole and just put it in another hole. Was that all there was to the job?
That
was
it? Like the circuits, yeah.
That was it.
Because like on Green Acre, or Petticoat Junction, there was... Sam Drucker, I think, had to do that or something.
When I said my grandfather was a TV repairman, and his primary business was he fixed televisions in hospitals. So people rented, this is a job that's non-existent, people rented televisions from him while they were in the hospital. And so if you wanted to watch TV, you
rented a television. It wasn't standard with the room. It cost extra.
Genius.
Yeah, so you rented a television. And then, you know, he had his repairman.
We used to hire actors to do plays in
but
the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, that was like not in your basic room. That was like a suite
paid,
or something you had to pay extra for.
And so if a TV was broken, he had his repair guys come and bring them back to the shop, and they fix them, and they took them back. But we used to go down to the switchboard all the time at the hospital. And so people would call the main number of the hospital, and they would say, I want room 452.
Yeah.
So then the lady would take the peg, you know, and she would connect the wire to whatever room 452 wow. was on the switchboard, and that's how you transferred the calls.
Because think about Petticoat Junction. Wasn't that a hotel?
Petticoat Junction was a hotel.
Okay, so Kim's right. You just totally made
the
sense.
The Shady Rest.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, the Shady
what
Rest.
What a great name.
Yeah.
That really
sounds a little like a funeral home or a cemetery.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounds like a great vacation to me. But they'd call the main number for the Shady Rest, and that's exactly what Kim said. The operator would then, like, room 403, okay, there's a circuit for 403. I'll plug in there.
So where did where was the peg originally that she would plug it into 403, but what was the default setting? Where was that peg originally?
The incoming, I just think one end was dangling. Right. It's probably like the main line, right. And then you'd plug it in because the operator could say, we're connecting you.
Or maybe when it wasn't connected, there were holes for like several main lines, and then you move from the main line up to the hole for wherever
their line was, I believe, hold please.
Yes.
Isn't that what they would always say in the movies and TV? Hold please.
I would have liked that job.
Me too.
It's very, very efficient.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
And back in the day, it seemed like most telephone operators were women.
Yeah. Oh,
100%.
Probably every one of them.
Yeah. I don't ever recall seeing a man.
Isn't that crazy? Somebody must have hired a guy to do that. Yeah. Why would that be women only?
Because women are friendlier. Hold, please.
Hold, please.
Hold, please.
What? A guy would do that. What?
And, I mean, don't you want to call and get, like, a lovely-sounding woman instead of the crank-ass guy?
Yes.
And, you know, going back to the elevator operators, on the flip side, it was very rare that you saw a woman elevator operator.
I never saw
Most were men. I just had the one in San Francisco that I never remember.
It was always old guys.
Yes.
Who
sitting on
like
a chair.
Be anywhere but there.
Yes. Well, how would you like to be in a dark elevator packed in there with people all day?
It's one of those jobs, and I know this is horrible to say, but I always tried to imagine when that guy went home and his wife said, well, what happened at work today? Because it's always part of your conversation is what went on at work. Well, the first guy...
A lot of ups and downs.
Right. First guy wanted to go to 4, so we went to 4. Then a family gets on. They want to go to 6, so we go to 6 for a while. Then a guy gets on, and he's going to go to 8. Then he changes his mind. He goes, no, make it 7. There's, like, nothing you can possibly say that's interesting. It's always, we went up for a while, we went down for a while.
One possible thing is a woman dropped her purse.
Right.
That was pretty exciting today.
Wow.
Between what floors, honey?
Right.
Wow, I had a lot of people on my elevator today that needed a bath.
Yeah, I bet that was part of it. And sometimes, like, all right, so now when you're in an elevator, you don't see the surroundings of going up and down the elevator shaft. But back then, I remember in sometimes you would see, like, exposed wood or beams or things.
Right, you'd see it going up, right.
Yeah.
Well, when do
you go to warehouses?
Yeah, we mostly went to warehouses when I was a kid.
I will see.
What's the ride in Disney World?
Stop bringing up Disney, Kim. I'm just sick of it.
The Tower of Terror.
Oh, my God.
I don't do
That's
that.
Like the greatest elevator ride ever.
I love the Twilight Zone.
Wendy, please go on that.
No. Go on the Tower of Terror, Wendy. You have to.
I don't do rides. That's maybe why I don't like Disney.
Well, that's the answer.
You got to go on it. It'll change your life.
No, I go to the Pirates of the Caribbean.
They have puppies on it.
No, you're a liar.
A big eyeball.
I can't.
You've never
do
been
it.
On that.
Oh, I can't do that.
Wendy.
Oh, it's so much
just
fun.
Just close your eyes. It's
no,
so
no, that would be worse. I have a hard time in the Haunted Mansion when it gets pitch black. I can't. Oh. I'm no fun. All right, there. You happy?
No, you are fun. You just do your palm sweater. You
didn't
just
get scared in Hall of Presidents last time?
Yes.
I don't like the way James Madison's looking at me. He's fake.
That's right. A little freaky, I have to say.
Now that I can sit in. Plus, usually you go in there for the air conditioning anyway.
Right.
That's really
the only reason they built Hall of Presidents.
Kids, you want to learn about our forefathers? No, but do they have AC? Sure.
I'm in. Let's
Take
go.
Take a little nap.
Let's go. All right. Did you know that this, now this, again, Wendy, some of these jobs are a long, long time ago, including this one, a beamatist.
A hypnotist?
A beamatist. Beamatists were people trained in ancient Greece to measure their steps so that they could calculate distances. The beamatists would often publish their findings in monographs.
This is a kick-ass job.
So the purpose of this was a live Fitbit. Essentially, yes. It was early map making. So somebody would say, I want to go to the Parthenon. But I don't know how long it is. How long will it take me to get to the Parthenon? And then a beamatist will go, I'll figure that out for you. And he or she would walk, and then they'd say it's 1,700 steps from here to there.
So more like a Google Maps or a MapQuest.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But also there's some element, Kim, in what you said also. So if somebody said, I'm trying to watch my weight, I'm trying to get in 2,000 steps a day, how do I want to go to the Sphinx.
Can't fit into my toga.
Right. I got a big party coming up. I need to look good in my toga. Right. What is this job? What do you think this is? A tosher.
How do you spell that?
T-O-S-H-E-R.
Tosher.
In Victorian London, people called toshers would make a living by breaking into the city's sewer system and searching for coins, scraps of metal, or pieces of bone. Toshers.
That sounds horrible.
I was in it until the last one. Like at the last one, I'm like, oh yeah, metal and coins and what? Did you say bones? No.
Pieces of bones.
I can't be a tosher if you're going to make me bring up bones. Toshers earned what is today about $50.
Definitely not paid enough.
That's not enough to be a tosher. That put them at the same level as the working class.
Well, okay. So back then, if you're with the working class and you just have to go, occasionally find a bone, but mostly metal and coins, it's worth it. Because no one wanted those jobs.
Right. And they also point out that it was illegal for a person to enter into the sewer system at the time. So if you were caught, you would go to jail. So that made the job even more dangerous. I'd want more money for my toshing abilities. $50?
Yeah, for sure.
That's not enough money to tosh.
Do you get to keep the coins, though?
No.
Probably not.
No, you don't. What's the next one? A breaker boy. A breaker boy was a young coal miner who was tasked with separating the impurities in the coal. Oh, that would be fun. The breaker boys were often as young as 5 years old.
God,
we have it so great. I'm telling you,
right.
These crap ass jobs, and they start you at the age of five.
Wow.
My God. Work before kindergarten? It's not a thing.
How old are you, Samuel? Six. Well, get out there and get a job. What's wrong with you? You're six.
You're the perfect breaker boy.
Breaker boy. Your brother's out there. He's five. He's breaking his neck for you.
That's why it's called a breaker boy.
Breaker boy.
Hence the name.
The work, it says, was extremely dangerous, which shocked me to read.
You're only going into a coal mine. What's the big deal?
I know. And many children lost fingers or limbs in factory machinery.
Yeah.
A member of the National Child Labor Committee took photographs of breaker boys, which prompted the public to demand that labor laws be reformed.
But first, they made a breaker boy calendar.
I was going to say, isn't that a movie, The Fabulous Breaker
the
Boys?
The Fabulous Breaker Boys with Jeff Bridges and Beau Bridges. What is a moriologist? Have you ever heard of that?
Moriologist?
M-O-I-R-O-L-O-G-I-S-T, a moriologist.
No.
In ancient Egypt, I'm a breaker boy, Wendy. I don't know how to pronounce the word ancient. Uh-huh. In ancient Egypt and Mediterranean cultures, moriologists or professional mourners were women who were hired by families to grieve the loss of relatives and lament the death of loved ones. I always heard this referred to as wailers.
Yeah.
Right? There's several Edgar Allan Poe stories that tell the story. Like when a character dies, they want to make that person seem more popular, so they hired wailers or moriologists, according to this, to come and just cry.
I've already hired my grievers.
Do you have grievers
already?
Yeah,
they're ready. They're at the ready for
anyone
when
I
pass.
Know?
A few people.
Yeah, some people from your GN?
No.
No?
No, this is from my past.
They still have that kind of in the Jewish religion, because you have to, when somebody who's close to you dies, you have to say prayers every day in memory of that person.
Say the Kaddish, right?
Kaddish. And if you can't say that, you can hire someone to say it for you.
Why would you not be able to, in case you couldn't get out of work or something?
Or you're sick or whatever the situation is. Oh. But if you can still do that.
And then are the people there, are they disappointed that the person who was assigned that task isn't doing it?
Or is everybody
okay with that?
Yeah, I think it's an honor. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something... it's because you're supposed to say it every day for a year. Twice, right.
Yeah.
Twice a day.
And, I mean, you need to, it's a sign of wealth is what they're saying. You like to see how long your funeral procession is. It's kind of the same type of thing.
It's your last
power
chance
and
a popularity contest.
Yeah, it is. Totally.
Yeah.
So it was mainly for the people who were, looked upon highly in the community and had a lot of money, or anybody, as long as you had money, could hire these people.
I think almost anybody was allowed to.
I've already hired police escorts for my funeral.
You got police escorts?
Yeah, they're just at the ready for when it happens.
That's very impressive.
Although at jobmonkey.com, professional mourner jobs are available right now.
They're still, so they can you can still do this.
Professional mourner, a.k.a. Moirologist.
How do you know what to charge for this? I'd have no idea what I would ask for if I'd want
to. The pay is $30 to $120 per funeral.
Wow.
So that's not bad.
And then you get a free luncheon.
Yeah. I would think that's part of it. Here's one, Wendy, I think should come back. And I bet you know what this is, because there have been movies about these people. The Castrato.
Oh, yeah, they were a choir of men that sang really high.
Yeah, they would get castrated so that their voices would be very, very high. That's the trade-off. The good news is you have a job with us. The bad news is, where are the scissors? Jerry, bring the scissors over. Oh,
the Jonas Brothers sing pretty high.
Weren't they called Il Castrati? Or is was that just in Italy?
Yeah.
Il Castrati. When women were banned for performing from the theater.
Yes. I'm just
That starts out funny.
No, I'm laughing. And you're talking about men who are castrated, and he sets it up with Wendy. You'll probably know who these guys are.
Right.
I didn't put that together. Sorry.
That was funny.
Not really.
No. When women were banned from performing in the theater in the 16th century, and I don't know what prompted that. Who said, all right, this is enough. We can't have women in the theater anymore.
Henry VIII.
Bad. Was it Henry VIII?
I don't know.
Young boys would undergo castration to create an adult voice that was more powerful and could reach more higher notes. The castrati were all the rage and extremely popular in Italian opera and often reached celebrity status.
Who's your favorite? Early boy band.
Yeah, well, but they couldn't cash in on it the way later boy bands did.
Right.
Later boy bands were able, there were perks, but with these guys, they're like, no, we'll just read a book.
Although I have to be honest with you, girls would want to date them because they wouldn't have to use birth control.
Well, that's true.
Didn't they form a group called Boys to Women?
That's something.
I don't know what it's to, but it is definitely too soon.
It's not too soon, but it's too soon.
Too long ago. That's too long ago.
You lost two.
Kim, with the zinger.
The pop-in. You tipped it in. All right.
Don't say Tim.
All right. Kim, I don't know why you hung out, but you did. So thanks for that. We'll say goodbye next. It's Phil and Wendy. Wendy, I have decided to join the Il Castrati.
I thought you were already a member.
Cassara, could you write down the time and the date that Wendy said that? Because I'm going to take her to court.
Why is Bertrand coming in here?
We're having an intervention.
Bill said he's a member of the Il Castrati.
Well, I got to go. I thought you guys just quit at 1 o'clock.
And we're running a little late today. We're going for the overtime.
Yeah. If we do 2 minutes over, they have to pay us overtime. So sometimes we shoot for an extra 2 minutes.
Anything I can do to help?
Nope, you're fine.
No, but I believe you are probably going to be recording the Mincing Rascals podcast. Is that correct?
Oh, I do that at 11:10. That's right.
Oh, well, then why are you in here? Just to bug us?
I want to give you one of those brain teasers when you're off the air.
Oh, do you have one?
Yeah.
Why not do it on
the air? Do it on the air.
It'll take too long. Okay.
Oh, man.
It's called, you want to do it?
Yeah.
All right, Cassara, we're going over.
We're going over time.
Okay, so my son, they're called... starters.
And yeah.
They would start every day of the school. The teacher would give this clue, and then they would ask yes or no questions until the kids would figure out what it was.
Oh.
So Noah sent me a simple one.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
A woman wears a new pair of shoes to work and dies because of it. What shoes were they?
Deadly shoes. all right.
You just have to ask a series of yes or
no. Were they high heels?
A woman wears a new pair of shoes to work every day. She wore a pair of shoes that killed her? Is that what you said?
A woman wears a new pair of shoes to work and dies because of it. What shoes were they?
Gum shoes.
gumshoes.
So the idea is you'd have to keep saying, well,
are they high
heels? Does she work outside? Does she work inside?
Are they high heels? Like that was my first question.
They are high heels, but why did that kill her? You have to come up with the whole thing.
Because she tripped. She stepped in a divot and twisted, hit her head.
Now, I'm not kidding you. The kids came up with these very specific answers. They would figure out the answer. And the answer in this case was they were heels. She was a knife thrower's assistant and was taller than normal, so the knife hit her.
Oh, that's
there's
pretty...
no way to figure that out.
I'm telling you, the kids would do it every day, and then they'd come home to me and give the, you know, the whole class would come up with yes or no questions. And they
that's went, brilliant.
And you weren't intrigued by it? You were bothered by it?
It would drive me crazy. I'm just like, how did she die? Just
what
tell
part
me.
Of it drove you crazy? The fact that you couldn't just quickly access the answer?
Yeah, I didn't.
Because there's more behind it than just knowing the answer.
Yeah, I wasn't curious about figuring it out.
Oh, that's
and
so
And then
good.
He became a journalist.
Yes.
I'm not curious at all.
Yes. She was a knife thrower, yeah.
That's right, very good.
I like that.
I'll bring in a couple more for you tomorrow.
All right.
All right, then you can't give us the answer. You have to give us a night to think about it.
It would take forever because it takes a group of people to winnow it down to
yes or no.
You can't do it on your own.
What was the one a couple of years ago that they said psychologists give to people that they think might commit a crime?
Oh, I don't know. And if they get the answer right away, that you know they're psycho?
Yeah.
Oh,
because... I have to admit, I got the answer, but it took me quite a while to figure it out. But they go, the criminal mind gets it immediately because they're thinking a different way. I did get it, but it took me like 25 or 30 minutes.
I kind of remember something like that, yeah.
We did it on the air one day. You don't remember it one day?
Yeah, so? I do. I do vaguely remember this because I think I got the answer right away.
This is what it's like with you guys on
the
stream.
You got the answer before we were even finished asking the question.
I'm that good. I'm that psychotic.
I know.
Did you tell her any other news today? Anything?
No, I'm saving that for tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
We have an experiment.
I don't like when you do that at all, because now this is going to totally bother me and the listeners for a whole 24 hours.
We have an experiment that we have to do. We want to try. We think you'll be very good at.
I'm leaving.
Bye.
We just got another $3.14 overtime.
I know. How about that today? Thanks, Bertrand. We
Thank
need
you,
to
Steve.
Share it with him.
Thanks, Steve.
Come up with more of those. I like starters.
That's
is
really
what they're
good.
Called.
It was really good.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. That was the bonus hour plus five.
Going on six. It's 15 more seconds.
Woo-hoo. I'm going boat shopping, Wendy. Gonna get me a dinghy.
You already have one.
I'm not even gonna say goodbye. I know. Bye, everybody, but Wendy.
Right back at you, everybody.